When I first saw Natalia, all I could picture was JoJo. The way her skin melted off her face, the smell of her hair burning, and the sound that she made. I didn't have the time to count, but there were more than I originally thought. I figured these must have been the 15 people that Prudence had talked about, entering the flats that burned before it happened. I already knew that Natalia was one of them. Eddie and Ellie clutched Terry's skirt, trembling with fear. I wanted to help protect them, but I still couldn't help but tremble a little bit myself every time I caught a glimpse of those hollow voids where their eyes were. "Hi, Terry. The kids said we could borrow some sugar," she asked menacingly, grinning at the frightened family stood next to me. After a moment or two of intense silence, Natalia finally addressed me. She appeared to be the spokesman for the group. "How's your friend doing? It was such a shame we had to end our visit. I was quite enjoying her company." "Don't speak about her. She's got nothing to do with you, you sick bitch," I screamed at her. I couldn't bear looking at her face again. "You don't scare me with all your freak friends. I'm not going to let you hurt this lady or her kids." Natalia chuckled and I gulped. I may talk a good game, but I am no hero. Mere days ago, I was just a young girl excited to move in for a boyfriend, and now here I am. My boyfriend's dead, and my flat is like living in my own personal horror movie. And I'm standing up challenging a demonic flame neighbors to defend demonic-looking children. But when I said she didn't scare me, I meant it. Something inside of me was eradicating any fear of these people. I just wanted to protect the residents. Life really does throw curveballs. "I know you aren't scared. I saw it in your eyes when you stuck that big knife in my throat. That's why we're here. My brother and sisters are not freaks. You're the freaks. Thinking that your lives have meaning? We watch you people go about your day-to-day lives and your mundane routines, and nothing really changes. Your lives are pointless and disposable. And that's why we set the fire all those years ago." She chuckled throughout her words. There was an animation in them, like she was a psychotic cartoon character finally catching its prey after 138 episodes of catching. "But those people weren't disposable," Terry mumbled, barely a decibel higher than a whisper. "What was that, Terry? Did you have something to say?" Natalia went from psychotic cartoon to school bully. She made my skin crawl. "I was only a child, but those people were friends of my parents. They were good people," Terry said with slightly more confidence. "None of the other people had moved. They just stood there staring." "Why would you burn people alive? What can you possibly gain?" I interjected, taking a slight step between Natalia, Terry, and the kids. I could see that she was getting ready to go for them, and I couldn't let that happen. "We were living with the great leader Michael, all of us, living in this righteous manner that he had directed us to live." She gestured to the people around her. The name Michael appeared to inspire some sort of emotion in the group. "Michael's brother Jonathan lived here, on the floor we burned. He let us hang out there sometimes, but he didn't live the righteous way that we did. He didn't like our beliefs. But when he took us in when we lost the place we were staying at because of the growth of our group, him and Michael rarely saw eye to eye. They argued passionately. Our group never believed in living within the constraints of societal norms, and we were up at all hours. We came and we went as we pleased, embracing freedoms and listened to music as we did introspective work." Terry shoved the kids further behind her and snapped, infuriated. "You were a group of entitled, bratty hippies following some middle-aged, mentally ill twat. Listen to yourself. The stereotypical cultist drivel coming out of your mouth right now." Terry cried. I was shocked by her outburst. Although I couldn't have agreed more, it did sound like a cultist drivel. It made me so angry that this is what an entire floor of people died over. And as Terry ended her rant, the curtains hanging on the window behind her burst into flames. I jumped and I felt my heart skip a beat. "Don't insult us. I'm sick of hearing simple-minded people call us a cult." The voice came from the back row. An average-looking man of dark hair and jeans had piped up, smiling and watching the curtains burn. He had done that. They were all capable of what Natalia had done, to Georgia at the very least. And for the first time since the people had entered Terry's flat, my nerves of steel had wavered. I realized that we were only alive because they were allowing it so far. We were in big trouble. Terry swiftly shut up, and Natalia continued her story. Michael was the true leader. Not like all of the fakes you hear of in the news. The people you're talking about? Ugh. He was teaching us to build a world of peace and harmony. He taught us to embrace the bad in us, to harness it so that we could do extraordinary things. She smiled wickedly as her hands glowed hot coals as she spoke. It may have sounded like cultish drivel, but Michael being a total faker wouldn't explain their powers. Things went wrong when someone went to the police after Michael and Jonathan had a terrible argument one night. When the police arrived, Jonathan told us to go. The group had been planning to leave this building anyways. We'd had nothing but interruption and trouble in our time here. This place is weird, but we had nowhere immediate to go. The police already disliked us after overcrowding the lost property. We didn't need any more attention. Michael was furious. We brainstormed in a field for hours who could have done it. I personally suspected the next door neighbor, Mavis. That woman was so nosy, always knocking and asking us to keep our noises down, interrupting our spiritual sessions. Michael couldn't make a certain judgment on the person who had done it. All we thought we were sure of was that they had to be on the same floor, so he instructed us to go back there that night and eradicate the entire floor and every non-believer who lived there. And as you know, we obliged. This incited sick laughter from the crowd. I waited, forcing myself to let her finish, buying time. We took pleasure in their screams and watching every man, woman, and child go up in flames for their front door windows. It was the first time we'd unleashed all that energy, and we felt so powerful. But then, as we left the burning hallway behind us and entered the stairwell, this building found a way to fuck us over one more time. I couldn't give you a number on the amount of times we tried to run down those stairs, leave our glorious victory behind us, and return to Michael. It didn't matter how many times we tried. We couldn't make it past that floor. The stairs wouldn't let us. It didn't take long before the fire reached the stairwell and we were trapped in, burning us all, along with the non-believers. We died just in time for the fire engine to arrive. We may have been dead, but we didn't disappear. We couldn't leave the building. We were stuck just wandering it. In and out of the burned flats and hallways, but not allowed anywhere else unless we were asked. It was awful. We didn't try to cause any trouble at first. We waited for Michael to come and find us, instruct us. 2 months passed and he hadn't come. Instead, came confirmation. A newspaper put through the door of the building. Headline news. Tower Block resident Bernie Hemmings, information vital to imprisonment of local cult leader on drug charges. I gasped. I couldn't believe I hadn't found that back when I was researching Peru. But I suppose local news wasn't so heavily online back then. Natalia saw my shocked expression, and then she grinned, wider than before. The old bat didn't tell you that then, is what she asked, but it wasn't really a question. And her stupid husband is the whole reason why we're here. We started to really cause issues then, did anything within our power to fuck the entire building over, but it didn't take them long to work out that we had to be asked to come in. We only stopped when Prue worked out a way we can die a second time, and that we would come back again. She killed 2 of our group. She was the only person that could stop us. We couldn't do shit with her around. We stopped and reached a stalemate. But then, she moved out. We were going to honor that stalemate until you stabbed me. Prue's gone. It's a fair game in here now. As Natalia got angrier, a member of her group started getting agitated. They all soon follow like a hive mind, working as one. The stillness became chaotic, and with all of them moving and making noise, I didn't notice at first when one started walking towards Terry and the kids, but I did notice when I got closer. It was a teen girl, slender and pretty, but still unsettlingly average. As she got within a meter of the family, Ellie suddenly went rigid. The clothes that replaced her fingernails grew longer and sharper, with jagged edges from growing so fast. The voids deepened, if that was even possible. She opened her mouth to reveal rows of sharp teeth, blood caked where the tooth meets the gum, where they had grown too quickly as well. Ellie jumped. She reached out towards the girl and slashed her face with her claws, leaving deep gouges across her eyes. She clung onto the girl using her claws as wall pegs, keeping herself at eye level. Eddie controlled the crowd. His own claws grew, and he ran towards them, sending them scattering out of the flat, random bursts of flames erupting everywhere, lighting up the entire room. Shit had hit the fan. The two demon children were successfully fending off a group of 15 dead superhuman cultists. Natalia ran from them too, but kept her eyes locked on mine as she did. And as she ran from the flat, she spoke to me.
"This isn't over,"
she screamed, and I knew that it wasn't. I stayed on Terry's sofa that night. We organized all the burned items in the house and threw things out before I crashed out in the early hours. The kids' clothes retracted, and they returned to their earlier state, causing mischief in the hallways. They were too young to really understand. I didn't sleep much. Nothing new. When I woke up, Terry was still asleep. I didn't want to disturb her, so I walked back to my flat, desperate to avoid anything strange my way. I guess the stairs must have noticed because they didn't skip on my way up. I hadn't checked the time when I left Terry's, but I reached my door at the same time as a familiar face. Postman Ian just standing there, dropping letters on my doorstep. "G'day, love," he shouted as he noticed me. "I need to talk. Can you come inside, please, for 5 minutes? I practically begged him at the doorstep. I told him everything that had happened the night before, how Natalia was out for revenge, and I was the object of her rage. I begged him to tell me how to kill them, but he claimed he didn't know. And he said if I kept my doors locked and didn't let them in, I'd be fine. He looked annoyed as I mentioned killing them. Didn't even suggest asking how Prudence did it. Something was telling me that there wasn't much point. He just seemed so disingenuous. I wanted to trust him. So badly. I wanted to trust him. I had been so vulnerable with him over Jamie. But if Prudence Hemmings could forget to mention what Bernie had done, and conveniently never pass on the method to kill these awful people, and leaving them around to terrorize her friends and neighbors, then could she be a liar too? Could I really trust Ian? And when he provided no answers and no real help, something inside me told me that I needed to get him out of my flat. I needed to rethink. Start working things out on my own. I made excuses to Ian and I sent him out on these rounds. Prudence left me these rules, but she left out so much. How do I know I wasn't always a pawn in some sick game? Her fantasy life as a puppet master? Setting me up to fail? She's kept her granddaughter in a cage for years. Maybe she even enjoys the suffering. But I wasn't going to give up easily at all. There's no way I'd let Natalia win. I decided then and there that I needed to attend the committee meeting today and start building an army against Natalia. I don't need Bruce's help or her methods. And you know what? With enough manpower, I could do it myself. This was war.